Kelly Leonard is here. Kelly is the Executive Director of Insights and Applied Innovation at Second City, and by proxy, a member of the WGN family. Your dad, of course, the great Roy Leonard. How are you, Kelly?
I'm great to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I also have to introduce Judy Pilek, who's here, too. She needs to be sitting in a high chair. I noticed it.
Did you do this on purpose?
No. But, Bill, we have to introduce Judy because we did tell her to come here for
right,
the noon
true,
hour. So
true.
We don't have to talk to her.
No,
we just have to introduce her
that she's here.
I feel right at home.
Kelly, there is a definite line from our own Second City to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
How did that work out? What happened that made this? It's almost like the AAA, if you were a baseball team and you have a AAA team of getting ready players to go to the majors. That's kind of what Second City has become in a way.
Right. And I'm lucky enough that when I started at Second City in the late 80s, the founders were still around.
Yeah.
So in 1975, when this was all happening, Second City was not happy about it.
No.
I mean, they were like...
They stole their people.
You stole, like, our best people.
Yeah.
And they freaked out, and they ended up creating their own show in Canada called SCTV, which became kind of a big hit and launched the careers of John Candy and Martin Short and all those folks. But what we realized over the years was it's the biggest megaphone that you could ever have to promote Chicago comedy and Second City.
Right.
So it was sort of the gift of, like, you lose talent, but you gain recognition.
Yeah.
And then here's the other cool thing, is when you lose someone, it then opens up a slot for the next great person to come along.
Oh,
so it was kind of the gift of, like, oh, now we've got room to find the next Tina Fey, you know, or the next Stephen Colbert, or, you know, he's not Saturday Night Live, but, you know, that's the kind of way it works. So we kind of... you know, got at peace with it, and so it wasn't awkward when they'd come and visit and take the talent away. It was more like, this is a rite of passage.
It is pretty exciting when you see Chicagoans on the cast of SNL.
Oh, totally.
It really is.
Yeah, and you know, and it's gone on for so long. I mean, you have that original cast, right? So Dan Aykroyd was Second City Toronto. Belushi was Second City Chicago. Gilda was Second City Toronto. And then Bill Murray joined the next year out of Chicago. So that, yeah, like, and then a bunch of the writers as well. And so, yeah, my favorite moment was Adam McKay, who you guys will know as Will Ferrell's partner. He directed The Big Short and all that. He was the head writer of Saturday Night Live, and he knew he was leaving. And he came and saw Tina Fey in the cast and was sort of like, I think that's the next head writer.
Really?
And so she came in as a writer for one season, became head writer the next season.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Has anybody counted how many people have gone from Second City, either in Chicago or Chicago and Toronto?
I literally just had that idea 5 minutes ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Listening to you, like, someone should do that.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first came into the exhibit, you know, got the wall of all the talent, and we started doing that, we're like, oh, maybe we should, like, have a little mark there for Second City. Cast members, it's well over 30.
Yeah.
If you add in writers, it's probably close to 100.
And the same thing goes on when you go to Second City on Wells Street. They have pictures of people who are now, you know, household names, but at the time were just Chicago actors who were working at Second City.
Yeah, that they didn't know at all. I mean, you wouldn't recognize Tina Fey from her Second City photos.
Right.
And then, like, Amy Poehler was never in a resident stage show at Second City, but she was in the touring company. And Seth Meyers was never in the touring company, but we did produce his two-person show when he was here in town. So there's an extension even beyond the stages.
So what do you think it is about this city and the sense of humor of Chicago and the sensibility of Chicago that is kind of that pathway to Saturday Night Live? What's going on? What's in the water here?
I have a theory about this.
What is it?
My theory is, if you look at all the sort of innovative stuff that's come out of Chicago, so improvisation, house music, the blues, spoken word, all of that is unownable.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So it's really focused just on making the art great, making the people you're playing with great. A lot of it is ensemble-based. So if then you look at, like, what's going on, you've got people who are really experienced in their craft, getting better because they're playing with people who are better than them, not worried about money, so they're just worried about the funny.
Yeah.
And then they go make their money when they go to L.A. and New York. And it's not that people at Second City don't get paid, they just don't get paid well.
Right, right.
But that's all about following your passion. You have to do what you love, and the money will follow, hopefully.
Right, and I think, as we've all discovered, generally speaking, the more money you make, the less funny you are.
Oh, well, I never thought about that.
That's
right?
Absolutely true.
Think about, like there's many, many people. I mean, I'll just throw this one out because he's not Second City, but Eddie Murphy early in his career was, like, the funniest human being on the planet.
Yeah.
And have you seen anything he's done in the last 20 years?
Including his appearance on SNL,
yes.
Which was not very funny. Good.
The anniversary show.
It was not funny.
This may be a little inside, but I'm curious what you think about this. Second City has a way of training their actors and actresses of saying, you don't really want to stand out. You kind of want to blend in. You're part of a team here, so don't try to stand out. But then when you're on Saturday Night Live, you almost want to stand out.
Well, here's the key to that. So in improvisation, we have this idea you need to make your partner look good.
Yeah.
And you do that because...
Thanks for that, by the way, Bill.
We did earlier. Oh, that was an excellent...
By the way, terrible improvisation open this segment. I was going to note you later. I'll note it on the air. Yeah. Really bad improv.
Yeah.
But the idea there is when you make your partner look good, that reflects back on you. Mm. And there's actually some science around this. Adam Grant, who wrote the book Give and Take, who's a Wharton Business School professor, talks about some of the most successful people and happy people in the world are ones who look to give back first.
Yeah.
And it isn't actually an irony. It makes sense because when you come out of an ensemble-based tradition where you make your partner look good, what does Second City produce? Nothing but stars.
Yeah.
And then beyond Saturday Night Live, look at the ensembles that were like Cheers, 30 Rock, you know, all these different shows that also are populated by improv people.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No question about it. Kelly Leonard is here, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Innovation over at Second City. We're talking about that transition from our own Second City here in Chicago to the stage on Saturday Night Live. And we're going to talk about a very important night coming up on March 8th that you're a part of. We'll get to that next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream on WGN. Wendy, right now.
Oh, that's gross.
You can't tell, but I am.
We are live in action from the Museum of Broadcast Communications on State Street in this beautiful city of Chicago. Saturday Night Live, The Experience. Are you guys getting excited to take the tour after we get off the air? It is so, as Bill and I keep saying, it was great. It was better than anticipated.
Right. And then when this closes, Wendy, I don't know if you saw, but the Two Broke Girls exhibit goes in as soon as this is done. That's going to be fun, too. Kelly Leonard is here, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Improvisation at Second City. A very important night coming up on Thursday, March the 8th. Kelly, what goes on then?
So, yeah, we're doing a cool panel here where we're going to talk about what really happens when you go from Second City to SNL. So we've got Tim Kazurinsky, who's an alum who was both a member of Second City and Saturday Night Live. Myself, Ann Libra, who's the Director of Comedy Studies, who knows all about the history. She's a professor of comedy, and I'm married to her. And Beth Kligerman, who's the Director of Talent at Second City. So Beth literally is the one meeting Lorne Michaels at the door for the last, like, 26 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So to be clear, you're only married to one other person on this panel, correct?
As far as I'm able to admit.
Just want
to
full disclosure on that. Yeah. Excellent. Boy, that sounds like a fun night.
Yeah, and we also have some cool video we're bringing with us. You're going to get to see SNL characters when they were first on stage at Second City, including Chris Farley as Matt Foley, the motivational speaker. So
that's where it all started on that stage.
That's where it started. And, you know, he didn't write that. I don't know if you guys know this. He was in the cast with Bob Odenkirk, whose career has taken a very unfunny turn, but cool.
Yeah.
Bob wrote that. And he wrote the character for Chris to perform. And then that became, you know, just one of the greatest characters ever on Saturday Night Live.
I think that character had the propensity to make other cast members laugh harder than anything I'd ever seen on the show. They're not supposed to break during the show.
No, but Chris is completely out of control.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing at Second. I actually remember he was so out of control one night he broke his leg.
Yeah.
His understudies weren't available. And a guy named Ian Gomez, who was a host at the time, said, "I can do the part." And he literally did the part, then got hired for Second City. You've seen Ian a million things. He's married to Nia Vardalos. But it's one of those great stories of, like, stepping in at the right time.
Yeah.
Good timing on that. Kelly, explain this mixture. Saturday Night Live over the years has had a way of blending improvisational actors, sometimes from Second City, sometimes not, with stand-up comics, with actors. How do they figure out the formula, and does it always work, do you think?
No, it doesn't always work, and I think the least success they've had is with stand-ups.
Yeah.
Because the stand-up mentality is one where you're doing it alone.
That's not the team effort, right?
That is not the team effort, and that's a real ensemble show. So a lot of the people that you mentioned who have one season are people who don't come out of a background in sort of improv-based comedy, and the vast majority of the people who succeed come out of exactly that.
But there are exceptions. I would argue that Dana Carvey, for instance, is one of Saturday Night Live's greatest assets over the years.
Oh, I'd agree with
his
that.
His backup was through stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But he figured it out.
He figured it out. And then the other thing they do is they'll stick the stand-ups behind this desk, the Weekend Update desk.
Right, right, right.
So Norm MacDonald was behind there, and, you know, Colin Joe. Well, Colin comes out of improv. Michael Che doesn't.
Yeah.
So a lot of those folks also are more successful when they're doing the news.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the exact Weekend Update desk.
Yeah.
That Tina Fey used, Seth Meyers, I believe.
Amy Poehler.
Was it the same chairs? Because they're really low.
Really low. And I don't think they're giving us our best looks. Someone tweet at Tina Fey and let's find out.
Would you say that because of Saturday Night Live, audiences who come to Second City are a little bit different than they were in earlier days?
Oh, absolutely.
They are, right?
The stories that I heard was, before the mid-70s, like, Second City was very well known, but we weren't like a national iconic institution. We only had like one touring company, and then literally after Saturday Night Live debuted, by the end of the 70s, we had three touring companies.
Yeah.
We opened up a second theater in Chicago, and now we have a third, fourth, fifth, sixth. So that show is directly responsible for putting a lens on this work. And the other thing it's done is, when I started at Second City, the training center, the classes that we hold, had roughly 100 people in them.
Yeah.
Today, 4,000.
Jeez. Wow.
Right now, studying, and not all those people are looking to do this to get onto SNL. Some are there for other reasons, but a lot of them, like, people move here to do this as a path to hopefully go to Saturday Night Live.
But then, does that change the process of Second City teachers? Do they teach the students, you have to try to find characters now, as opposed to the old days where it was the scene?
No, we haven't changed our thing. I mean, that's what's interesting about it, right? Is that when you take an improv class, really you're unlearning. So you are you're learning to become less selfish, to listen better, to give focus to other people, all those behaviors that then we can come in and give you some skills building in comedy and improvisation.
And you mentioned the unselfish and to untrain you. That helps in every aspect of your life, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, like,
marriages,
Second
parents,
yes.
Everything.
So this, I mean, the
job.
The growth at Second City is not that we've got, you know, like, all these different kinds of shows. It's the work we're doing with corporations, or the work we're doing with Parkinson's patients and kids on the autism spectrum. I mean, that stuff is very powerful because it's about recreating recognizable human behavior and finding ways that people can be better with other people. And if we think of what gums up the works everywhere, family, work, there's a scholar who once said that people aren't complicated, it's relationships between people that are complicated. So that's what we focus on, the space between the people and making it better.
Yeah.
You still enjoy this work.
Yeah.
You just did an amazing job.
But you're still, how could you not enjoy this? You're laughing every day, right?
No. It's great. And what's interesting, like, the timing was so great, right? Because, you know, my dad said, I can't get you a job out of college, but I can get you an interview. So he's the one who got me the interview with the folks at Second City. So I was able to come in at a time where you have that sort of legacy. And then, you know, my 30th anniversary there is in October. And the idea of still being, I'm in my early 50s, to still have the energy and excitement to take everything I've learned but now take it to another level, that wasn't an opportunity that the founders had, because it wasn't built up as much as it is. So a lot of good timing.
It's not just the energy, it's the passion, and we feel your heart coming out here. So you're doing a great job. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kelly Leonard, everybody, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Improvisation at Second City. The big night is March the 8th, right here at this very museum. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.